Well, hello and welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. I want to start off this episode with a quote from Lee Strobel. He says, "Apologetics has an important place in the local church as we seek to influence our communities for Christ in an increasingly skeptical culture." So today on the episode, we are going to be talking about how to get an apologetic ministry started in your church.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, again, my name is Tim Hall, and I'm here with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1 Minute Apologist. And we at 1 Minute Apologist seek to give credible answers to your curious questions. And we want to do that on the podcast. We also have a number of resources over at the 1MinuteApologist.com. We would encourage you to check those out. Last week, we talked about kind of the making of a good apologist, some of those key things that we need to be keeping in mind as we grow in our apologetics, and just maybe how to have some practical tips and conversations. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I would head over to wherever you found this podcast and check that out. And consider subscribing. And if you found some information in any one of the podcasts, feel free to share it with somebody else and help them as well. So, Bobby, you have been a pastor for a number of years, and that gives you a unique perspective on how somebody might go about approaching an apologetic ministry in their church. How do you approach the leadership? What are some of the things that the pastors may be thinking about? So let's kind of just start there. So how have you found that pastors think about or approach apologetics in general?
Well, I think it varies depending upon the denomination, depending upon the build out of that pastor, whether or not he's more of a shepherd or a teacher who loves study. I think some people are threatened by apologetics. I think there's pastors that are threatened by it. It sounds overwhelming. And unfortunately, apologetics has been given a bad rap at times because of, you know, the way it's been misrepresented. At the same token, apologetics is necessary. Anybody who says that apologetics isn't necessary has just revealed that they haven't done a lot of evangelism lately. Once we get out and start doing evangelism, people start asking us questions. That's the time where we're ready to give a defense, an apologia. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully people are already engaged in a church where their pastors are passionate about showing the credibility of the Christian faith. This is a culture that is a melting pot culture filled with a whole myriad of beliefs. And never before has America had such a deep need to train its people as it does right now in the realm of Christian apologetics. So that being said, how do we get it started? Hopefully you got a pastor, as I mentioned, that's doing it already. But if he's not, and this is a particular passion of yours, then perhaps set up an appointment to find out what the vision of the church is as it relates to equipping people so that they could defend the faith. If the pastor is just simply not interested, that's problematic, especially considering how much apologetics was done right in the New Testament. Virtually every book of the New Testament has apologetics on one level or another. But hopefully the pastor is open. I would say be respectful to him. He's approached by tons of people. I would call them silo passions as a pastor. People come to me with their silo passions and they want me to implement that. And there's a reason we're passionate about that silo area, but we have to be careful that we don't look down on others that don't carry the same amount of passion as we do for our silo area. We're the body of Christ. We each have different passions and we work together to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to be head, hands, and heart church. And so I feel like there's different ways then that we can get apologetics up and going in the church. Some of the things that we've done is we've hosted apologetic conferences. I've brought in a number of different speakers to speak in my stead, like Norman Geisler or Frank Turk or J. Warner Wallace or Brett Kunkel. I've had different apologists in. So I'd say, you know, talking to the pastor, or if a pastor's listening right now, budgeting to have an apologist come in to your church. Bring in the 1 Minute Apologist.
Yeah.
A little plug right there, right, Tim?
Yeah, bring us in. Come on, let's go.
In fact, that's something we would love to do. Come in and equip the church on doing apologetics and bringing our pastoral experience to bear there. So I think that's something that could be done from the pulpit. I think that the pastor can not always be looking to preach apologetics, but look for the apologetic moments that naturally arrive in the passage that they're teaching. So when you come across a certain text, like John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we might get into the whole Jehovah Witness and the way that they deal with that, where they say that the Word was a God, where they reduce the divinity down to Christ, and then we can talk about that from the pulpit. So I think that you can have apologetic moments through your teaching. You can offer different seminars. When Rob Bell's book came out, Love Wins, I did a seminar called Hell Yes or Hell No for the Church. I did another seminar called The Homosexual Question, where I was tackling whether or not it's a sin. And man, we had a lot of people show up from the community just to listen. Yeah. So you can have like Sunday evening seminars on hot cultural topics. I think that finding other people who have like-minded passions and forming a small group, I think putting it a part of your small group training where you're teaching small groups, and maybe once a year you go through, maybe there's an apologetic month where all the small groups are unified to kind of go through an apologetics book like Reason for God by Timothy Keller, whereby people can be equipped. Right Now Media, they have a ton of our stuff that they're in process right now of releasing, where they're putting studies out on that, and they could do that. YouVersion, I've put out several studies there where people can go and get those and look for other people's names who've produced apologetic studies where in their own personal devotional life, that can take place as well. So those are just a number of things that people can do in the church. Another thing is just put a link to the 1 Minute Apologist on the website. We'd love to see churches have that, because we have nearly 1,000 videos right now.
Right.
And we would love to partner with the local church. So if a pastor isn't necessarily equipped as an apologist, there's tools. And by being aware of ministries like ours, or Reasonable Faith, or Stand to Reason, or Cross Examined, or J. Warner Wallace's Cold Case, what can happen is people can put those links up on their website to resource their church.
Great. So I wanted, again, I think we have this really unique relationship. So because you were a pastor for so long, and because I have been that apologist in a church being like, come on, man, like I want this. You
know, yeah.
I wanted to get your insight on this, and I think other people might feel like this too. So if I schedule that meeting that you initially talked about with my pastor, whatever, and we're sitting down having this conversation, do you think it would be a good idea to kind of start asking him some of the apologetic questions that you might have, and kind of let him see where the answers go, and just kind of almost give him a sense of, these are the questions that are out there that I've either experienced through conversation, or I've seen apologists like yourself and Frank and James Warner Wallace and the people answer, and would love to get your insight on this as well. So how do you feel like that would be received, kind of general? Is that a good place to start, or would they make it feel defensive? Like, how would you feel if somebody approached you like that? I'm just trying to maybe get an inroad in where they would begin. Like, you don't want to kind of dive in and be like, start attacking them.
Sure.
But you might want to find some common ground. How would you feel about that?
Well, personally, I'm not threatened by the questions. I love that. And so I'd be excited to see somebody who was asking me questions. As a person who has served so many years as a pastor who's recently stepped out to pursue full-time apologetics, I know what it was like to feel the frustration of going, why aren't people asking more questions? You know, I loved when Jesus would teach, and then his disciples, those hungry ones, would come up to him, and he'd say, you were saying when you taught, Jesus, and he'd say, to you the kingdom of heaven has been given. It was like as if at times he intentionally flew a little bit high over people's head to see where the really hungry ones we're at.
Yeah.
And I love when people are inquisitive. I do think that it's also in how one approaches it. If somebody comes in and they come off arrogant and they're like trying to just put me in a corner or whatever, that's not going to win endearment, because the kind of person that I want to release as a pastor to do apologetics is somebody who's not wanting to do it to beat people up with all their answers.
Right.
So the approach to me is so important, finding somebody with the right tone, the right spirit. So I think asking questions just to see what the pastors say is fine. I also think, like I said, asking for what his vision is for apologetics in the church, and then sharing how you could be a part of that, and asking him for ways that could be made possible. I think that a pastor should want to see his people plugged in, using their gifts. He may not be able to, like in a church like ours that I pastored, it was a large church. I could not take on each of the silo passions and work with the person individually.
Right.
So one of the things I was always doing is I was delegating. That's 90% of leadership for me was delegating, right? So I think that they might leave that meeting and the pastor might say, hey, go meet with this person. They also, depending on the size of church you're in, and also depending on whether that pastor is a shepherd or not, they might find it harder to get his attention. And that's okay. Take the resource the pastor's willing to give you and meet with that person.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely say, in addition to all of that, is try to work within the confines of ministry. If you're plugged into the church, if you're already involved in and you love the church, you're kind of planted there. If you want to be a small group leader, go through the process to be a small group leader and try to incorporate some of the apologetic material as you're leading the small group and kind of almost proof of concept it, you know, demonstrate it. Again, if your pastor is a little bit more hesitant, not really sure he wants to enter into that, you know, maybe feels like it's argumentative or whatnot, try to give him a good picture of that. And I think that, and again, referring back to one of the episodes that we did about what a good apologist is really helpful. So just kind of start there and make sure that you're delivering it in a way that draws the pastor in to say, wow, this is really good. This is effective. We need more of this in that sense.
Exactly.
So I think all of that is great. So really great insight from Bobby on some of that stuff. I really appreciate that. I think one of the major questions that I might have here, kind of just as we wrap up, is do you think that this would be an issue, or how do you feel like this would play out if a pastor is just like, no, that's not happening at the church? Do you feel like, what would be a next step? So someone's listening to this, they say, man, I really feel like I tried to approach my pastor about it. I've gone through some of the steps that you guys talked about, and it just seems like the door is closed.
Mm-hmm.
How what would a next step for somebody be in that case, do you think?
I would want to understand why. So if I was part of a church and I was to go to a pastor and he seemed adamantly against it, instead of just automatically just thinking, oh, this guy's shallow or writing this person off, maybe just try to understand why is he coming to this conclusion? Perhaps this pastor has been exposed to a very limited field of apologetics, and it could have been a field where it was very distasteful. It was people who were bickering, fighting, and maybe this pastor is such a unifier, such a shepherd, and he's seen it done in such a way that was damaging. And really, might that open up the door for a good conversation to be able to make the pastor more aware of some other resources? Pastors aren't omniscient. They don't know everything. They have their own pet passions as well.
Right.
And sometimes they have to be reminded of why something is important. But I would trust that if the pastor's well-trained, he's going to understand the importance of apologetics. And if you listen to the reason that he gives and you realize it's because of maybe past wounds, then try to build a friendship in that area and help them to see it another way. But if this is just a person that's not interested in training his flock, not interested in defending the faith, and is just completely mystical about everything, and I'm all for a mystical experience. Thomas Aquinas, you know, the great philosopher, had a mystical experience so powerful that, I mean, here's the one who wrote the Summa Theologica, Summa Contra Gentiles, and after he writes all this stuff, he puts his pen down after this powerful mystical experience, and he would never write again. Mm. You know, God just showed up in such an amazing way. Blaise Pascal, who wrote Pensées, that was basically put in after he died. It's just this list of thoughts and writings where Pascal, great mathematician, inventor, philosopher, he too knew what it was like to have a powerful mystical experience. I'm all for that, but I would say adamantly that if the person who's a pastor is just against it for the sake of being against it, then it might be time to look for another church.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for this week's episode. Amazing insight. Again, if you heard anything in this episode that you think somebody else might need to hear, please share that with them. Subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Check out all of the amazing resources on the 1MinuteApologist.com website. Maybe even email one or two of the videos. They're really short videos. as a general idea of the videos, we try to keep them under 5 minutes, usually 1 to 3 minutes. So that may be a great inroad for you to just, you know, shoot one to your pastor that, hey, we had a great conversation. Take a look at this video. This is kind of the essence of apologetics. Or here's a question that the 1 minute apologist Bobby answered. How would you answer this question? Again, not a combative way, just in a way that both people can grow, the iron sharpening iron type thing. So,
and for one thing too, Tim, I would just want to insert real quickly is if pastors are listening, we want them to know at the 1 minute apologist, feel free to use these videos. Professors have used them in classes.
Yeah.
Pastors have used them in their churches. We get emails, people asking, hey, can we use this? Absolutely. They're there for you. We want that to be a resource for you. We do this for you.
That's great. And just kind of another thing, if you have some follow-up questions to this particular episode, you can always become one of our financial team members, and that affords you access to a once-a-month webinar call with Bobby. So if there's more things, if a specific question has come up with you and your pastor that you want some insight on how to get some next steps, how to deal with that, you can do that. If you're a financial supporter of ours, there's a once-a-month webinar where you can jump on and ask some questions with Bobby, and he can help you kind of work through some of that stuff. In addition to some exclusive content with other people that are on our videos, some of the scholars on our videos are experts, and Bobby himself. So head on over to the website, oneminuteapologist.com, and click on Become a Team Member, and you can do that, or just search the resources that we got. Next week, kind of as a partner episode to this one, we're going to be talking about why churches might be resistant to apologetics. We covered that a little bit in this episode, but we're going to dive specifically into some objections that I've heard, and I'm sure Bobby has heard as well, and maybe some other ones that we'll try to gather between now and then to kind of address. So these are going to be things that if you're sitting down with a leader in your church, maybe an elder, the senior pastor, they might come up with and say, yeah, but what about this? And we're going to try to give you some answers to those. Again, not in a combative way, but so that you can be ready to give a defense of apologetics in that sense, to give an apologia of an apologia, right? So you can be able to have that conversation in an effective way. So join us again next week. Thanks for listening.